Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 46th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. The show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance they dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled The Laughing Fish. Original air date January 10th, 1993. So we have a new year already. If you remember, the last episode we did was around November. Well, not us, but the last episode that aired originally aired on November 22nd or 23rd. So yeah, we've had that winter break that TV shows usually take. And now we got a whole new year, 1993. Now, the title card is, well, actually, there is no title card. This is only the second episode to do this thus far. The first episode was episode 3, the Mr. Freeze origin, Heart of Ice. If you remember, it just started off with Snowfall. There was no title card to that. Now, excuse me, because I'm just getting over a cold, so if I sound a bit snotty or, you know, what have you, it's I apologize for that. We start off on a rainy night with a close-up of a sign of a smiling fish. We pan out to a fishing port where we see in the newspaper stand that the Joker is still at large from his latest escape. And I love this. There's no need to tell you, beat you over the head. There's no reason for Batman to appear and be like, I'm looking for the Joker because he's escaped. Or Gordon telling Batman, and we still haven't found the Joker. No, it's just in the newspaper, and you see it as the scene pans by, so you're already set up as to something bad's going on. Some fishermen dump their catch from the net, and they go take a look at what they caught. They almost vomit as they are disgusted by fish that look like the Joker. The fish are white with green fins and giant red-lipped smiles, so the fishermen almost throw up looking at this. Batman watches this from a nearby rooftop because he likes to go watch fishermen, I guess. I don't know. Did he get a clue that Joker was going to be around there? I have no idea why he's there. Although Batman realizes now that Joker has made his move. We get a classic spinning newspaper transition, and the headline is about the Joker fish. We're in the Batcave, and Batman arrives with a sample of the Joker fish. He asks for his dissection tray and talks to Alfred about how Joker's motives only make sense to the Joker alone. We are at a copyrights office when two thugs and Harley Quinn walk in. We haven't seen her for a while, Harley Quinn. She introduces the Joker and he walks in, so everybody's like terrified. He walks up to someone on a desk called Francis. Joker wants to file a copyright on the Joker fish. And he tells the guy not to speak, but then the guy speaks, so Joker slaps him in the face with a fish. And Harley walks up to Francis, smells him, and says, ooh, stinkeroonie. So she sprays perfume on him, which is just like this giant pink cloud that she sprays on him.
As I was saying, since every fish in Gotham now bears my famous and frankly fabulous face, I should be getting a profit from every fish product sold. Let's say, a nickel per fish sandwich, 50 cents for sardines, millions of dollars a day to finance my happily hedonistic lifestyle. So, which of your tedious copyright forms do I fill out first? You may speak now.
No one can copyright fish. They're a natural resource.
Joker gets angry that he can't copyright fish, and he says, Colonel What's-His-Name has chickens, and they don't even have mustaches. Joker gives Francis until midnight to change his mind, or else. The Joker then leaves. We're back at the Batcave, and Batman has found that the toxin only affects fish, so Joker's plan isn't to poison anybody. But at that point, a commercial appears on TV.
They're mini and funny and oh so delish. They're joyful and jolly Joker fish.
Say, like mom, wondering what to feed the family tonight.
What'll I feed the family tonight?
Arr, try me famous Joker fish. There's Smiling Smelt, Giggling Grouper, and Happy Haddock.
This could cause a stampede to pork.
Yummy, yum, yum.
Eat it.
Mr. J, I have this little problem with fish. Yum, yum, yum.
Yes, friends, that's Joker fish. Tasty, tempting, and of course...
naturally low in cholesterol.
Coming to your local store. Just as soon as that nasty old Mr. G. Carl Francis decides to give me my legal cut of the profits.
We cut to Francis, who is at home being guarded by Gordon, Bullock, and some cops. They try to change the channel on the TV, but it appears Joker has taken over every channel, and he threatens Francis once more about changing his mind before midnight. Bullock tells Francis not to worry because they have police at every corner. At that moment, one of the officers reveals that he's Batman in disguise, saying that if he got in this easily, so will the Joker. Bullock doesn't want Batman there, but Gordon says no one knows Joker's methods better than Batman, so he's staying. Francis, he is this small, like, balding, middle-aged man with glasses. He's like this little meek guy. He just seems like, you know, like, just a little nice old man. And he is wondering why this is happening to him. He never did anything wrong to the Joker, and he can't change the law. He's just a paper pusher. He has no power. Batman explains that in Joker's sick mind, that is the joke. At that moment, we see a van with a big swordfish on top, like a giant swordfish, I wouldn't say statue, but like a decoration, I guess, giant swordfish decoration on top, and it pulls up to the house. Francis starts scratching himself, and Batman asks, is Francis this all right? And Francis tells him this.
Feeling all right?
Oh, sure. It's just that everything's been so crazy today. I haven't even had time to rinse off that gunk the Joker's girl squirted on me.
Get this man to a hospital! Now!
What?
I love that! I love Batman's delivery and just sense of urgency on that line. Get this man to a hospital now! I love that! At that moment, the clock strikes 12. And the van parked outside shoots the swordfish like a rocket. And it's heading right toward Francis. Batman pushes Francis out of the way, but the swordfish then starts emitting a cloud of purple smoke, which causes Francis to start laughing uncontrollably. And it's pretty gruesome, actually. This is the first time I believe we've seen the Joker's gas in action. We might have seen him affect some people in other episodes where they start laughing, but this is the first time we see it up close, and it looks very painful and gruesome. His eyes turn yellow with red veins, and they start bulging out of his skull, and his face warps into like a nasty grin. If you've ever seen the movie Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger, it kind of looks like when they get their helmets removed on the planet Mars and their heads are gonna blow up. Like their eyes bulging out and their teeth grinning, and oh my god, it looks nasty. Batman injects Francis with the antidote, though. Bullock wonders why they aren't affected if they all breathed in the gas, and Batman explains that it's because it's a two-part compound, and Harley Quinn sprayed Francis with the first part earlier in the day. So that was what that pink perfume that she sprayed on him was. Joker appears on the TV and says if he doesn't get his copyright claim by 3 a.m., he will go after Thomas Jackson, who is the second in charge at the copyright office. Joker teases Batman, he says, I know you're watching, by having Harley sing the commercial jingle again. We're now at the home of Thomas Jackson, and this scene is very cool, but I'll have to explain why later, because if not, it'll spoil something coming up ahead. Bullock says that this Batman business is the lamest idea he's ever heard. We see Gordon next to Thomas Jackson as Batman stands by the window hidden in the shadows. Gordon says that they would try it Batman's way to protect Jackson, and that's final. Outside of the house, a cat is walking with a Joker fish in its mouth, and it walks right past all the cops. It's almost 3 a.m., and Gordon and the cops are startled when they hear a noise. Thomas mentions that it's just his cat. And then they notice that the cat has the Joker fish in its mouth, and it seems to be rabid because of it. And Batman points it out. He's like, the fish, it's affecting him, and the cat looks like it has rabies. Jackson runs to try and catch the cat, but the cat jumps over him and goes straight at Batman, scratching him in the face. Batman starts laughing like a maniac, but Batman looks weird. He seems to be really fat. Like he has a big belly and he has a double chin and everything. Thomas then walks over and injects fat Batman with the Joker venom antidote. Batman gets his mask removed, and it's actually Thomas Jackson dressed as Batman, who now has, now Thomas Jackson has the contorted Joker smile face. So Batman was hiding as Thomas Jackson all along. He mentions how the cat knew to go straight for its master, and it wasn't fooled by the disguise. Batman picks up the cat, and he injects the cat with a Joker venom antidote as well. He leaves to another room to change back into his costume. Bullock gets angry and he says that he has his own methods of finding out things, while Batman stands around and plays dress up. So Bullock gets angry and he leaves. Batman notices that the Joker fish is a Japanese fish, not native to Gotham. So he realizes it can only come from one place, the Gotham Aquarium. We are at the Gotham Aquarium now. And it seems that Bullock has arrived to the same conclusion because he arrives there before Batman does. Now, this isn't an abandoned aquarium, though. Not yet. It's only closed for renovations, according to the sign. Inside, Bullock finds Harley Quinn, but she shoots him with a giant cork. I don't know how police policy works, but you probably shouldn't just let somebody shoot you. Bullock gets the drop on her. She stands there with a gun and he points his gun at her, and he has a real gun. And she has this giant gun that looks like a toy with a cork on it. And Bullock just laughs at her. He's like, oh, it looks like you're outgunned. And she just shoots him. So this cork releases giant rainbow ribbons and they tie up Bullock. So wow, isn't he lucky that it was a gag gun and not a real gun? Now a giant hook grabs Bullock. And it's Joker with a giant fishing rod. This has a giant things here. Joker starts to dip Bullock into a shark tank. And Bullock says Joker won't get away with this. And Joker actually stops. He looks sad and he reels Bullock back up. And Joker realizes that if Bullock found him, then Batman won't be far behind. But he realizes also, why spoil the shark with Bullock when he can feed him to Batman instead? Harley is just disgusted by so much fish, and Joker tells her that since this caper has been so rough on her, she can be his little mermaid. He grabs a giant fish costume, and he smacks the top half on her, and laughs like a maniac while she just looks on in disgust. At that moment, Batman arrives, and Joker's thugs get ready with harpoons. Batman goes inside the aquarium, and he finds the Joker. Joker shows off the shark, whom he says came with his own smile. But before Batman can act, Joker shows him Bullock hanging from the hook over the shark tank. Joker's thugs capture Batman, and Batman offers himself up in exchange for letting Bullock go, and Joker agrees. Joker licks Bullock down, and he puts shackles on Batman's wrist. Joker kicks Batman into the shark tank, but not before saying this great line.
You're right, Harley. Fish are disgusting. I think I'll start using my toxin on cattle. Joker burgers! Ha! Talk about a happy meal!
Joker has a huge wad of ground meat with him, and he throws Bullock into the tank with the meat as well. The shark swims toward Bullock, but before he can attack, Batman uses his shackles to grab the shark by the mouth and ride him like a horse. Because of course he does, he's freaking Batman! It is so awesome! Batman steers the shark into some rocks, and the rocks break the fish tank, causing water to spill everywhere, and causing Harley and the thugs to fall into the tank next to them. So that's the end for them. I guess they drowned. We don't see them anymore. They just fell into the tank next to them. Good thing there wasn't sharks in that one. The water causes the front door to open, and the shark falls into the ocean outside. Bullock is safe. Batman gets free from the shackles, and he goes after Joker. Batman catches up with Joker. Oh, you know, I apologize. I missed the scene here. While Harley and the thugs fall into the water, Joker escapes using the giant fishing hook that he caught Bullock with. He uses it to rise into the ceiling because it's attached to a sister lift. So it's rising up, but it rises up so high that he crashes through the ceiling. The window is not open, so he crashes through the window. And I mention that because when Batman catches up to him, Joker is still groggy from breaking through the ceiling, so he's kind of like stumbling around and holding his head. Joker grabs a wrench and he smacks Batman in the shoulder hard. Although it's pretty hilarious because Batman just backhands the Joker right in the face. Like if he's showing this guy some respect, he's like, show me some respect. I'm just going to hit you in the right across the face with the back of my hand. Joker and Batman fight for a while, but Joker runs away to the edge of the roof, and Batman corners him. Batman says there's no way out. Joker shrugs his shoulders, and he jumps off the roof. So we had suicide in the like two episodes ago, now we're having it again. On the way down, because this is like the world's tallest aquarium, it seems, Joker pulls a string, and an inflatable ducky inflates around his waist. Joker says that he has thought of everything, but then notices the shark is swimming in the water below him. Joker lands in the water, and the shark dives right after him. We fade to Harley Quinn being arrested, and her crying over the Joker.
Oh, my poor Puddin'.
Come on, he was a demented, abusive, psychotic maniac.
Yeah, I'm really gonna miss him.
Harley tosses a Joker card into the water as they take her away, and Gordon wonders if that's the end of the Joker, but Batman says that he wishes it was, but he's not sure. We then see the card that Harley threw float out into the ocean, when all of a sudden the shark jumps out of the water and eats the card. The end. This episode's great! This is a perfect example of what I talked about last week, where the animation doesn't have to be perfect if the story is strong enough. The animation on this episode is pretty bad, actually. Harley Quinn looks really weird. The animation's just not that great. There's animation errors, but the story and the music are so strong that you don't care. I forgot to mention the music in this, but the music is awesome. It's very different than what we have in a usual Joker episode. We usually have the classic theme, and it seems a little more friendly in other episodes. Here, it's more menacing. The whole soundtrack to this episode seems a bit more menacing. If you've ever watched the movie Cape Fear, it has that type of vibe to it. It has a Cape Fear vibe to it. Very foreboding, I guess would be the word. I actually love the fact of how dangerous the Joker seems in this episode. I believe the only other episode where he was actually seemed more like a serious threat was the episode To Be a Clown, where he kidnapped the mayor's son, because in that episode he was pretty scary as well. Usually he comes off as a clown, of course he's the Joker, and a lot of times he just seems like somebody who's out to entertain himself, but in this episode he seems very threatening. You do believe that he will just kill anyone at any second just for laughs. And I love that all the characters treat him as somebody not to be messed with. I love how the people in the office go quiet and they just seem very scared of him. The cops all seem to be just, they don't know what he's going to do. Even Batman is not scared of the Joker, but he is taking him very seriously. And I love the whole feel of that. The scene with the cat is one of my favorite scenes in the series. It is framed perfectly because Batman is always hitting in the shadows and we never get a good look at him or at Thomas Jackson. And anytime somebody talks, they do it off screen, so you don't know who said it. So that's very good, because I love the fact that there's still dialogue to make you believe the guy at the window is Batman, and when it's actually the other guy in disguise. And it's very cleverly done. It is framed just greatly, so that the reveal is just much more of a surprise. And it makes you, the viewer, feel smarter for catching on to all these hints, because you're watching and you're wondering, huh, why aren't they showing Batman's face? Or that just sounds weird. Why is this guy speaking, but you don't see his mouth? So you don't actually see him speak, but you hear his voice. So it makes, as a viewer, it gives you small hints that if you catch on and then you catch the twist before it's revealed, it makes you feel smarter. And if not, it catches you off guard and it surprises you. I really, really love when shows do that, when shows treat you with respect like that. This episode is an adaptation of a story from the comics, also titled The Laughing Fish, from Detective Comics 475, released in 1978. The story is almost the same as this episode, but it is basically just the part with Francis, and it involves Rupert Thorne somehow. It's basically the story of just Joker trying to kill this Francis guy for the copyright of the fish. And he actually gets away with the crime in the book. He kills Francis by doing basically the same thing, poisoning him without Batman being able to realize how the plan was going to work. And that's it. Joker gets away with this, and he's not caught. It's weird, but hey, I like it. And this episode is also, it's a return to roots for the Joker, who uses methods that he used in his first comic book appearance back in Batman number 1 from 1940. He uses the TV to send threats, although in the first comic book it was a radio. But if you remember, also in the 1989 Batman movie, he uses the television to send threats as well. So this is just a method he's always used, and I like the fact that they go back to this. As I mentioned, he's more threatening as he was back in those first comics. Many people don't know, in the first issue of Batman, Joker actually gets killed. Batman stabs him in the heart with a knife. Because Batman, that one rule thing, don't believe it. But the character proved popular, so they brought him back with some excuse that the knife missed his heart by like an inch or something like that. But he came back, of course, and now he's a classic Batman character. But, as I said, he was a killer. I like the fact that they treat him like one. So, I really do enjoy that.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Right, it's time for the Batcave Archives. This is the section of the show where I rank each episode that we have reviewed thus far. This is episode number 46. If you want to see the full list, go to our Facebook page and join the group I'm Batman, the podcast. I update it every week so you can see the whole ranking of the Batcave Archives. You could also be part of the group, post pictures, comments, and it's a lot of fun. At number one on our list, we have Almost Got Him, the episode where the villains share stories of how they almost killed Batman. And last place, at number 45, the episode Prophecy of Doom, the episode where Batman finds an old man who pretends he can tell the future. It's been there for a while now. That was episode 22, so it's been 20-something episodes, and nothing can be worse than that so far. It might get worse, who knows? This episode, where would I rank it? It's really good. It's a really good Joker episode. It's a really good episode of the series. I'm not sure if it's top 10 good, because the top 10 is, it's just full of really, really good episodes. It's not better than Almost Got Him, so it's not taking number 1. Number 2, we have Beware the Grey Ghost. It's not better than that. Ooh, this one's a hard one. The episode Two-Face Part 2 is at number 9. I'm not sure if this is better than that. Because we have number 11, Feet of Clay Part 2, which was a great episode. And once again, I'm not sure this is better than that one. Joker's Favor. That episode is the episode where Joker, it's almost like this one, where he picks an innocent victim and he blackmails him into helping him pull off a crime in that one. This episode is very similar to that. Although I actually do enjoy this episode more. I think that I am going to place this episode right above Joker's Favor. So, number 12, for the reasons that I've been just blabbling on and on about for this whole episode, we have The Laughing Fish. All right, everybody, I think that's going to be it for this week. I want to thank everybody listening once again. As I mentioned last week, we had our one-year anniversary this past Monday. So on the 16th of January was when I posted the first episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. It's been a whole year already, and I've had a lot of fun doing this. And I'm not going to stop until the shows stop. So everybody, once again, thank you for listening. I really do appreciate it. Remember, you could go to iTunes and leave a review. I really would like to hear what a lot of you listeners think. And let me know what you think of the show. What do you think is good with it? What do you think is bad with it? Do you have any ideas you'd like to see incorporated into episodes? Give me your feedback. I would really appreciate it, and it would help make the show a lot better. Everybody, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are...